What's up? It's Draymond Green, back for my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast, The Draymond Green Show. Unfiltered takes, real hoop talk, and big-time guests. There's no holding back on the court or on the mic. Follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.
Bob, I always watch the Golden State Warriors on my phone.
Well, so
but that hasn't been a good idea lately.
Year. They're not very good.
No. But I was watching them periodically amidst a weekend of football that I don't know is comparable to anything I've ever seen football-wise. And the results speak to that. There's never been four games decided in the final minutes by that narrow of a score ever on a football weekend, a playoff weekend, before. So where would you like to begin here? Want to do this chronologically? Where we go?
Yeah,
back
why don't we
to...
go starting at 4:30 on Saturday, the first game, because that set the tone.
It really did, and I wasn't even going
to
watch this. I was doing other things on Saturday.
Just to show you never know.
Did it become interesting? The Rams almost lost, and then they come back and win, and they're a favorite now in the second round going on the road. But what about that game? Did you gain newfound respect for Carolina? How'd you feel about that one?
You know, I did. I wasn't aware that Dave Canales, we always talk about Dan Campbell and Detroit as the team that always goes for it on fourth down, sometimes recklessly. Well, he does it more than anyone. Like 33% of his fourth down plays this year were attempts to move the chains.
Yeah.
And he had a pretty good success rate. But sometimes you can overdo that also. Carolina's an up-and-coming team. I think, Bryce Young showed that he can – his arrow is pointed up. They also play a pretty good brand of defense, but they ran into a buzzsaw in the fourth quarter when they allowed some things to happen. And once – Matthew Stafford gets rolling, and Puka Nacua and his group of receivers, that's a tough, tough team to try to stop. And he made a great throw to win the game to that tight end in the end zone. It was a perfectly placed pass. So Carolina gave a good showing, but, man, it was a pretty entertaining game. And I did not think it would be. I agree with you. I thought it was going to be, as the point spread suggested, a 10-point game.
It concerned me if I'm looking at the Rams as a Super Bowl team. But you know what? It seems to be a weird matchup for them. They already lost there, and they came through, and nobody cares. You know, this is the NCAA tournament. This is survive and advance. And the Rams are pretty formidable. And the only thing I disagree with you there, I'm not convinced that Carolina is an up-and-coming team just yet, and I'm certainly not convinced on Bryce Young. Carolina finished the season 8-10. I mean, he was 21 of 40. He made some big throws. I'll give him that. He's gutsy, but I'm not sure if I'm a Carolina fan. I'm thinking, yeah, next year's the year for us. I don't think they're very good.
I think they made a lot of progress this year from where they were.
Yeah, I guess.
I think they have, you know, their back offensive backfield is a good one. I like them. Chuba Hubbard had to take a back seat to Dowdell, who came in, or Dowdle, however he says his name. He's a good player. They have some players who can make a difference, and I think they're going to just add to that group, and I just think they're an up-and-coming team, especially in that division where there aren't many very good teams.
When you can pass the ball the way the Rams can, you're a threat to win the Super Bowl, period. That's why they were, against all odds, a real threat last year, and if they hadn't played in the snow in Philly, they might have been in the Super Bowl last year.
Is there a better receiver than Puka Nacua?
I couldn't believe he dropped that ball, but no, there's not many better ones if there are one or two.
He very seldom does that, but just the way he plays and how he goes about his business, man, he's pretty good.
They're going to be a tough out here because Stafford's at the top of his game right now. He's great. He's a Hall of Fame quarterback.
But they got to go to Chicago.
I know, and I think they're going to win. I think they're going to win in Chicago. I will say this about the Bears. Let's just go to that game, can we, Bob?
Yes.
The 2025 Chicago Bears are one of the most exciting teams, if you want to phrase it, they've had one of the most exciting seasons in the history of pro football. It has been remarkable what they do late in games. The comebacks that they've had, they're the greatest fourth quarter team maybe in the history of the league. How do they do it? They scored 25 points in the fourth quarter the other day.
Well, you can see the worst sometimes in Caleb Williams, and then you can see the best all in the same game. And in the first half, I thought he was off the mark. He threw a careless interception at the goal line. At that point, you thought, this is an 18-point deficit. Yes, they've come back, but there's no way they're going to come back from this deficit. No way. But boy, did they, and Green Bay has a lot to do with that, the way they played, I thought. And when you have a field goal kicker who misses two plus an extra point, that's 7 points. You talk about the importance of that game.
Yeah.
Brandon McManus, he's a veteran. I would not have expected that. But what a throw by Caleb Williams on that fourth down play where he had to roll left, jump in the air, and put it on the money for Loveland. That was as good a throw. And if they don't make that throw, they lose. It's as simple as that. It was almost like the likely play here in Pittsburgh where he got it and you thought the game's over at that point.
They're worth the price of admission. Every time I have tuned into a Bears game this season, I've been wildly entertained. Caleb Williams made one of the greatest throws I've ever seen. I don't mean to be talking in so many superlatives here. But
he did.
Have you seen many like that on fourth and eight where he's getting pounded backward to the ground and throws it over?
His left and threw it down the field perfectly. Oh, my God. It's crazy. That's how good the guy can be, though.
If he is able to rein in his accuracy the way Josh Allen did as his NFL career progressed, he is on track for the Hall of Fame. That's how talented he is. But I don't think they're ready yet. I don't think their defense is going to be able to stop the Rams. They'll make it entertaining. They always do, but I think the Rams win. What's the spread on that game? The
Rams are favored by 4 in Chicago.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
I might make it more. I think the Rams are the team that could just pull away early, and they have a defense good enough to slow down Chicago in crunch time, whereas I thought Green Bay played a terrible fourth quarter all the way.
Those poor little Packers, Bob, they haven't won since Micah Parsons got injured.
They had a game on a 5-game losing streak in the season.
That's why they got him, is to finish games like that, and
but
that's
still,
what he was doing.
Without him, you can't give up an 18-point lead.
I know, but picture whoever you want to picture, the Steelers without T.J. Watt in all their recent, some of their recent playoff games, right? At least one of them.
I'm just saying that's inexcusable.
Yeah.
To go into a fourth quarter up by that many points and somehow you come away losing.
That crushed their team, though, to lose their defensive star.
Yeah,
it just emotionally and on the field just absolutely crushed them. All right. Then we got to Bills and Jags yesterday. I had a good luck charm, my dad's old pendant that he wore.
Oh,
I was carrying in my hands, watching with my wife. It was incredible. I mean, what Josh Allen did. Shaq Thompson's their best defensive player. They have no number one receiver. They have no pass rush. They were on the road going against that team, and Josh Allen just went full Superman.
He did, despite all the pressure he took, the hits he sustained, all of it, he still was there, and he wasn't reluctant to run himself when he had to. That one tush push that carried him like 10 yards into the end zone, I never saw quite a play like that one.
Incredible.
But, you know, the pass he made to the one tight end,
Kincaid.
Dalton Kincaid, it was a beautiful pass.
Remember Mr. Kincaid from the courtship of Eddie's father?
Yeah, but the play he made before then, I think it was the one to Brandon Cooks, where it was, you know, he was going backwards. They had a blitz on, and he took the hit and threw it right on the money. Man.
They were out to injure him. They were out to take him out. And that's a good team, Jacksonville. And I don't know how he does it, but he does it. And he's going to be a tough out.
Are they favored next?
Yeah, they are by 1.5 limits. The Bills in Denver, I think I saw, if I'm right about that.
See, I'm surprised by that. I am.
Yeah, they are.
Because I think Denver at home has been really good. They've shown resilience out there. They have a good young quarterback. Everything about that game makes me believe Denver should be favored by 3 or 3.5. Not Buffalo in favor.
Number 17.
I understand
going
that.
Going against Bo Nix. I mean, that's...
Their defense is a different animal.
The Bills were favored in New England late in the year, Bob.
I know, which...
It's Josh Allen. And I guess the odds makers are more right than wrong, and I've been more wrong than right about that.
So if you had to place a wager on that, would you take Buffalo?
At this point, something's happening here.
Maybe.
Something's happening. He's going to be a tough knockout, I'll tell you that. You might have to knock him out.
I don't disagree with that. I mean, yeah.
What about Trevor Lawrence? He was awful. He made a couple of spectacular throws, but 2 interceptions. His accuracy was up and down, and Liam Cohen lost his mind by not running the ball. What is he doing? He threw it 30 times, and he only ran it 23 for 154 yards.
Well,
they should have run on every play.
Absolutely. Again, the numbers suggest you should, and that's what I've been wondering about the Steelers and some of their pass-run ratio, because the last few games, they're throwing the ball. Like even that Cleveland game, you're going against that defense without Metcalf. You're shorthanded to begin with, and they throw it 39 and run it 24. When they ran it 24, they averaged 5.5 yards a carry.
It was amazing
to
watch.
I mean, if it's working, just keep doing it, especially in those kinds of games.
Keep doing it. Limits, were you proud of Penn State's very own Parker Washington?
He has really come on. It's like a six-round pick years ago. He played very well. That was a great catch that he had in the end zone on that pass from Trevor.
The great Jacoby Myers, only one catch, Bob.
And he was targeted on the interception on the deflected ball that the Bills sealed it on.
Yes, he was. Yeah.
That was not a bad throw, by the way. It was right there for him to get it, and it bounced off his hands.
Tre'Davious White, who's had a blown-out knee and an Achilles. The Bills' defense, there's nobody there that anybody worries about. Nobody. And yet they came through, I guess, sort of, in the end. They gave up two fourth-quarter touchdowns. I'm picking them over Denver, I'll tell you that right now.
It's Draymond Green, kicking off my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast. And trust me, I'm not holding back. Listen to the Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.
You guys?
No, I'm taking Denver.
No, I'm taking the Bills. I have the Bills winning the Super Bowl. I'm sticking by it. That was my day one pick.
He's sticking by it, Bob.
Who'd you have from the NFC?
The Lions. That's been way gone.
Yeah.
Did Larry Ogunjobi play in that game? I don't even know. He has no tackles. If
he does,
he
shows up every five plays and goes back to the bench.
I know, but for a one-day situation, he could be a good guy to have.
He's a game wrecker. He could be.
Is Ed Oliver? Oh. Ooh. Ed Oliver's return, quote, not out of the question for Bills Broncos. How about that, Bob?
They need as many people as they can get for that defense.
Well, he's their best player.
Yeah. So.
That's their best player. And I say even if he has one arm, he should play.
I think Greg Rousseau is underrated. I think he does a pretty good job. You know, given that he's never talked about, but when he gets in there, he shows up.
He's all right. They really don't have a pass rush. 49ers 23, Eagles 19. I picked the Eagles in this game. I guess the Eagles were broken. I thought they'd put it together for the playoffs. What are you doing in Philly? Because Nick Sirianni wants his best friend to call plays? Is that the problem
there?
Yeah,
apparently that was a big problem. And, so if you make that choice, you know, they don't have a lot of patience in Philadelphia. Jeffrey Lurie is capable of saying, you know what, you cost us, we're looking for another coach.
They're going to have a new offensive coordinator, 100%.
Oh, 100%. But I also thought A.J. Brown had some really potentially decent plays, big plays that he brought.
You're not
kidding.
Something
about him has changed. He's not the once dynamic player I thought he was.
I haven't. The whole A.J. Brown story, last year they wanted us to believe he was opening a book and reading on the sidelines because he always does that. That was just normal. No, he was doing it because he wasn't getting the ball and he wanted everybody to look at him. That if I'm not going to do anything, I might as well read.
And that's why he and Sirianni went at it on the sidelines too.
Well, he wouldn't get off the field fast enough on a third down. He's worn out his welcome. And it's one thing if you're making plays, you put up with that. When you're dropping balls on potential game-winning drives right in your hands on third down, it's time. So maybe we can do the A.J. Brown Steelers sweepstakes this summer, Bob.
Yeah,
I can't wait for that.
There's a part of me that doesn't want to deal with him after what I've seen now.
Yeah, I agree. And I don't know. I don't think you don't fire a guy a year after going to the Super Bowl. But
no,
I'll say this.
But I'm saying they don't.
Sirianni's
have a lot of patience.
He's on a short leash there. He is. They got rid of Doug Peterson a year and a half after that Super Bowl he won. Do you know that?
Yeah. But, you know, those fans over there, man, they get out of hand real quickly.
They turn on you in a hurry, don't they?
It's unbelievable how fast.
And then the Niners. What do we make of that story?
I mean, Kyle Shanahan
did all the
things he needed to do. But, here's the thing. They had a beautiful play call where Jennings, who was a quarterback in high school and college.
Oh,
they made a good catch too by Christian McCaffrey. That
very
was not
good.
An easy
very
ball to locate because it wasn't where you would have thought it would have been. That was a great call at a great time. He took a hit too. Did you see the hit that Jennings took?
Bob, when I saw that throw, and maybe you guys can give me a better one, and Randall L's Super Bowl throw was phenomenal because it was on the run.
On the run,
and
right on the money.
Right on the money, but he wasn't getting hit.
No.
I think this was the greatest playoff pass by a non-quarterback in the history of the league. I could be forgetting one.
No.
Somebody else tell me.
No.
This dude was getting hit.
You don't agree with that?
No, Randall L is 1,000% better because of the distance plus the accuracy. I know he wasn't getting hit, but, we're going to talk about Jennings' pass was, 20 yards?
Yeah,
Randall L threw that thing 50 yards.
He was getting laid out limits.
I'm aware.
It's at least a conversation.
Randall Ells was also a more accurate pass than Jennings.
It was a well-executed
Jennings was a pretty damn good pass.
It was a good pass, but, it was right in the breadbasket for Hines Ward on that throw from Randall
Ells. It was perfect. The execution on every level was great.
Plus
the
distance of it.
But when you take into account that this guy's going to get laid out. He knows it. He
goes, I think that's that makes the difference for me.
I'm not going to pick that over the Super Bowl because I still think Super Bowl plays are extremely high on the list of plays you should remember because of the circumstances. But in this case, that throw, given the pressure he was under, given the time of the game they called it and how meaningful that play was, it's right up there for sure.
45 yards. Believe me. I mean, we're talking in the context of the greatest plays ever, greatest throws ever by a non-quarterback. Randall L's throw was incredible. It was 45 yards in the air.
Do you remember they did that Randall L play in the Cincinnati game, the first game they played in the playoffs?
Yes, I do.
But it was the other way. It was the other side of the field. And they called it again. Ken Wisenhunt liked it, called it, and two for two.
So I'm watching the Randall L play, and now I'll watch the Jennings play. Which was, Limits wants to make it like it was nothing. It was 40. So don't tell me how much longer it was. 45 to 40 yards in the air. And he's getting hit.
The Jennings ones was 40 yards?
It's 39 yards. Right to the goal line. Go watch it, Limits. It's all over the internet. And he's getting hit. And the pitch out wasn't great. It was off balance. So, all right.
Joe's talking himself into this one for sure.
No, I mean, I said it when it happened.
I agree.
I put it ahead of Randall L because he's getting smacked right as he releases it.
The only thing is Randall L's came in a Super Bowl at a time, you know, that was a tough defensive game there for a while, and that broke that game. And it was just, he was wide open. This one won the game, Bob. I understand that. But I think the circumstances are even bigger in a Super Bowl. When they called it, how it went, and the throw being perfect. In this case, it was also a play. It was a wonderful play call at the right time.
Well, we can agree to disagree on that. They're close. They're very close. Is there another one? Can anybody? I mean, what was the greatest throw by a non-quarterback in playoff history in the NFL?
There had to be a number of halfback option passes.
Wendell Tyler did one against the Steelers. It was a short little throw. Yeah,
the Philly special.
The Philly. Who threw that one?
It was wide open. That was
a short little, yeah.
That's a hell of a throw, though, but it's not this.
No.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, look, don't get me wrong, Joe. The Jennings throw was incredible. It was. I just think the magnitude of the Antoine Randall L one, especially, too, being in a Super Bowl, like Bob mentioned.
I don't know. Isn't a Super Bowl not really different from a win or die? Aren't they all playoff games?
Yeah, but it's the Super Bowl.
They're not even to the – you got to get there first.
Yeah, that's my point about the Jennings throw.
Yeah, you got to get to the Super Bowl.
That's why it was more important because it came on the grandest of stages.
Okay. I mean, I think winner, die, go home playoff games are all pretty much written the same. You got to get there.
Yeah, you can't say that a wild card playoff game is the same as a Super Bowl, though, Joe, right?
No, actually, I can.
Okay.
Because the stakes are the same. You win or you go home. At least you're already in the Super Bowl. When you're in the Super Bowl, you got there. Here, you're not even there yet. You're on the road in a hostile environment, taking a bad pitch out and getting blasted as you release the ball, and he throws it 39 yards on a dime. But this isn't the conversation I intended to have, Bob. Are there any others?
No, but here's the thing about that, too. You know, these teams, they go deep into preparation, and you do scout teams that have former quarterbacks playing other, you know, positions. And you know.
Is he a college quarterback, Jennings?
Yes.
Where did he play?
I forget. But
He committed to Tennessee. Here's the funny thing about it. He was a higher-ranked recruit than Sam Darnold, Joe Burrow, and Lamar Jackson
coming
out of high school.
So everybody knew he could throw the ball. They knew it. It's just that they bid on it. And those secondary people allow McCaffrey to go right down, you know, just blow by everybody. They had to know that he was capable of doing that with all the prep work.
And I'll say this, too. He converted to wide receiver in college. So was he ever even a quarterback in college?
He was a real good quarterback in high school. I know that.
So that would be the other difference here is in Randall L, you had a legitimate and great college quarterback making the throw. Yep. Here you had a college receiver who's been in the pros for a while making the throw. But I realize, you know, we're in Pittsburgh here, Bob. So the Randall L play, and the Randall L play was unbelievable. I've said that the Randall L pass was one of the top five passes in Super Bowl history, maybe top 10, period. It was unbelievable.
What are Antoine Randall L's overall passing numbers in the pros?
158.3 passer rating. Perfect passer, I think.
How many attempts?
I think he has ridiculous numbers. We just talked about this last week because Josh Miller has the greatest passer rating in Steelers history.
Yes, he does.
Randall L did not have a perfect passer rating. Listen to this. In his career, He was 22 of 27 for 323 yards, 6 touchdowns, and no picks.
Yeah, it was really good.
156.1.
Secret weapon he was, and they utilized it at just the right time.
It was a great call. Garo Yepremian had a pretty good pass, Rob. I was reminded of somebody, right?
That was funny. That was one of the blooper plays you'll see over and over again. Poor Garo.
Remember when they threw it to Tom Brady in a Super Bowl a couple years ago? Oh, it would have been like 9 years
yeah,
right now for
and
the
he
Patriots.
Was frozen in time.
In Philly.
Wait, that happened the other day. Which quarterback got thrown a pass? The other was it Herbert or May? No. It was May last
I think it was
night.
May.
Yeah. Did you see that?
It
Bob?
Was overthrown.
No,
yeah, it was overthrown.
I didn't see it because we were doing other shows, so I didn't pay attention so much to the last game.
Limits has now admonished me twice, Bob.
Yeah,
remember the first segment?
He's on the offensive, as they say.
Bob, I'm sorry. I thought Joe's.
Why didn't you
there
order dessert the other day,
the
Limits?
Wild card. Well, because I didn't. I was full. I was honestly full. I had a small little.
How about
piece
Joe?
Of
how about if he did this?
Dom's
how about if he was
dessert.
Full, but yet he ordered a dessert and said to the waiter or waitress,
"I'll take it home.
I'll take it home. Could you please box that? What would you have thought of that?
That would have not been good. Donnie back there, Donnie is claiming, and for those who don't know, I took a couple of the producers out for a steak dinner based on intern Dom's trivia answer.
Which we are very grateful for. Thank you again, Joe.
We had a wonderful time. Bob's name came up a couple times.
I don't even know why, but go ahead.
Donnie back there said he could have gone deeper by ordering a drink, or what else did he say? He was gonna order something else. Before his meal, another appetizer.
Hello, appetizer.
Maybe?
They have good appetizers too, so you should have done
very
that.
Good appetizers. Yeah, we did not get any drinks.
A little calamari or a little, you know, they have a shrimp thing that's really good.
Well, Joe gave us a heads up a couple of days before the dinner, no drinks, and we weren't sure if he was joking or not, so we decided not to get any drinks.
No, that was a joke. I said, right when we got to the place, I said, get whatever you want. We're here to
you
enjoy
did.
Ourselves. Of course you could have gotten a drink.
I was only going to get a drink if everyone else did. I was not going to be the one that started that because I felt bad because, Joe, you've treated me very well.
How about
you didn't
Joe,
feel that
how about
bad. You ordered a steak the size of Mulsey's cranium.
Yeah, but it was right around the same price as yours.
How
I was
about,
trying to
how,
get more bang for
it was $4
your, more bang for your buck,
how about
Joe?
If Joe would have said, here are the ground rules. There are no drinks, and then he would have been the one to order the first drink. What would you have thought of that?
I mean, I did. I got a cranberry juice and club soda, Bob.
No, I'm not talking about that kind of drink.
Listen, these guys weren't shy. We got three appetizers. Donnie got a Caesar salad for himself.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
And then intern Dom ordered bread pudding, which cost like a down payment on a house, but it was worth it.
It was very good.
And then Donnie got a piece of cheesecake, right? So we were all
he
good.
Did. And you had a dessert, and intern Dom had a dessert.
Exactly.
And I had a little piece of Dom's dessert.
What was your favorite appetizer, Limits? The sweet potato crumble was to die for,
see,
wasn't it?
See, here's the thing. I've never eaten that before, and it was incredible. Like, I love sweet potato fries, but the sweet potato crumble was, oh, man, it was very good, Bob. Plus the mashed potatoes. I like mashed potatoes.
Are they garlic mashed? Because those are the best ones. When they put a little garlic in there.
I don't know. You always know a place is good, in my opinion, when the bread's nice and hot and fresh,
yeah.
And it was good, Bob. Oh, it was real good.
Yeah, you don't want a hard roll.
No.
You know, something you got to crank into with a drill.
No. And then the salads is also a good barometer for me. Like,
fresh.
If they just give you, like, a hunk of iceberg lettuce chopped up with something on it. Nobody wants that.
Well, have you ever tried the wedge?
Well, the wedge is a different story. It's designed to
be
that way.
It's designed to be, yeah. It's a good one.
But you know what I mean. When you get brown lettuce and stuff like that, nobody wants that. So you can tell the quality of a place by the salad and the bread.
Mm-hmm.
And we were pleased. Legend has it that Stephen A. Smith is in our midst limits. Is that right?
There is a rumor that he is going to be here to do his show, yes.
At what time?
1 o'clock his show begins.
Well, why don't you go over to where he's doing his show and ask him to join us for 10 minutes, would you? Bob, are you game for that?
Bob,
sure.
Could you come over with me? And it would
Bob, does
be
he know
extra
you?
Pull if you're
where
there.
Is, no. I,
do you
I've
know
never,
him?
I've never met him, no.
Well, why don't you go meet him? You'd give
well,
a,
where
a,
is he?
He's somewhere in the building.
He's somewhere in the building. We're going to go find him.
Okay.
All right.
We're
you guys go on that
on.
Mission. So that could happen next. Or we're going to have a Limitless Express where we take a little dive into the rest of the sports world before coming back to a big, huge night of Steeler playoff football. That's all ahead on Pomp and Joe.
What's up? It's Draymond Green, back for my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast, The Draymond Green Show. Unfiltered takes, real hoop talk, and big-time guests. There's no holding back on the court or on the mic. Follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.